Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, did the Dallas Cowboys get snubbed in Pro Bowl voting? Plus, Chris Broussard lays out why the Lakers are the favorites to land Anthony Davis. And how embarrassed should LeBron feel after getting stonewalled on a dunk attempt against the Nets? Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
The Pro Bowl rosters were announced yesterday, so that means everyone is up in arms about the snubs. NFL.com ranked the most glaring omissions, and Cowboy linebacker Leighton Vander Esch topped the list. The rookie has stood out with 116 combined tackles and two interceptions after replacing the injured Sean Lee. The tackling Dutchman was even listed above other notable snubs like Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey. So Shannon, do you agree that the tackling Dutchman was the biggest snub?
Hell no. Not even close.
You just hell no to Dallas Cowboys?
No, Skip. I mean,
you
look.
Hell no to him.
Skip,
this is your tackling Dutchman.
First of all.
This is the wolf hunter.
He is, Skip. But first of all, he's not even having the best rookie season for an inside linebacker. That belongs to the guy up in Indy, Darius Leonard, who has 22 more tackles than anybody. But here's the thing, what's so amazing about this kid, Skip.
Yep.
He has more tackles right now than anybody had all of last year. And he didn't go. That was a snub. Andrew Luck, huge, huge snub. Russell Wilson. Skip, what about Chris Jones? The dude has a sack in 10 consecutive games, 14 and a half sack. He's fifth in the league in sacks.
He got positioned because he's at the wrong position.
Yeah, they're talking about he's a defensive end.
What?
First of all, San Diego plays a 3-4. Melvin Ingram is a linebacker, outside linebacker.
Yep.
See, and what they do, Skip, they position guys to try to get him into the Pro Bowl. Because they put him up against Von Miller, so you outside linebackers. So that means he's going to have to go up against Dee Ford, Von Miller, and Jadeveon Clowney. Do you really want that matchup? No, let's put him at defensive end. Look, Myles Garrett had an unbelievable year. Melvin Ingram had an unbelievable year. But they didn't have better years than Chris Jones. Chris Jones has been unbelievable. Cut the tape on, watch the TV copy, and tell me 95 of the Chiefs don't jump out at you.
He does.
Look.
He jumps off TV.
Yes, yeah.
He does.
And considering how bad they are defensively, that's saying something for him to jump off the screen.
Yep.
Skip, this is not a slight against Vander Esch because he's had an unbelievable rookie season. To come into, because I don't think they expected him to play a lot. They had Sean Lee. And now that looks like a very, very good pick for them moving forward. But he didn't have a better year than Luke Kuechly. Luke Kuechly is off the chain. And Bobby Wagner, Skip. And I said this before, they're the two best.
Bobby Wagner just might have had his best year of all the great
years. It's surprising that he hasn't won a Defensive Player of the Year. But, you know, these guys, you get Aaron Donald putting up these phenomenal seasons. But, Skip, no. He's not the biggest snub. Vander Esch is not the biggest snub. I believe Andrew Luck. I believe Darius, Skip, how does a guy, I mean, think about it. The dude has 22 more tackles. For an inside linebacker, he has seven sacks. He's seventh in pass defense as an inside linebacker. And he doesn't make the bowl. Come on, man. This, Skip, they're getting out of hand with this. This is starting to turn into, look, and it's always been this way. This is a reputation thing. Because when I look at it, Skip, I don't care what you did in the past. I don't care if you're a 15-time Pro Bowler. I'm looking at you during the course of this season. And if your play isn't worthy, you're not getting my vote. It's simple as that. But Vander Esch is not even – he shouldn't even be a top 10 snub. You better go to Andrew Luck. You better go to Russell Wilson. You better go to Darius Leonard and Chris Jones before you even mention a Vander Esch. Let alone talk about a snub. Before you even mention his name, there's five guys right there, Skip, that are way, way bigger snubs than Leighton Vander Esch.
So, to your point, when I read this headline very early this morning, I nearly fell off my treadmill. I had to blink. I slapped myself in the face once, like, wait a second. I know I got to be careful there. 2019 NFL Pro Bowl snubs. Leighton Van Der Esch tops the list. What? What? He tops the list?
He means difficult names to pronounce.
I guess so. But again, when you talk about reputation, what does he have going? Yeah. Oh. Right?
Yes. Okay.
He's got new reputation. He's got internet building reputation.
Right.
Where everybody's doing the wolf howl, including Darius Leonard, right?
Yes.
Including the opponents, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, Darius Leonard outplayed him head to head the other day. It was 11 tackles to 8 tackles. But look, has Leighton Van Der Esch been like a revelation?
Yes.
Yes, he has.
Yes.
Because I blasted Dallas for taking him the day after the draft because I told you I'd watched one Boise State game against Josh Allen at Wyoming.
Right.
And I watched the whole game for Josh Allen, who was hit and miss, and I didn't love him. But I didn't see double nickels jump off the screen one time. So I'm thinking, you're taking him over DJ Moore, who I thought was going to be sensational.
Right. And he has been.
And he has been, okay? Yeah. But the point is, he did change. He came in right as the world changed in Dallas. Now, that may have had something to do with the arrival of Amari Cooper.
Yes.
But he did step in for Sean Lee, and it started at Philly.
Right.
And remember, it was his interception that turned the whole tide.
Yep.
Everything turned from that point forward. I give him that. But help me out here. Who would you rather have, Jalen Smith or Leighton Van Der Esch? Right now, you got two young
kids.
I'm taking Jalen Smith. Yeah. Is he not a little more sudden?
Yeah.
Is he not a better blitzer?
Yeah.
Is he not just sideline to sideline?
Yeah.
And Leighton he's got range.
Good range.
And length.
He reminds you of Brian Urlacher.
He does.
Because he's 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 250, 255.
Jalen Smith is hellacious. Yeah. I mean, he's the one who's changing life on that defense.
Yeah.
I don't know where he was on Sunday. We're going to talk about that in just a minute.
We will.
But my point is, if somebody got snubbed, I'm going Jalen Smith got snubbed over Leighton Van Der Esch. I completely agree with you about Darius Leonard. That's outrageous.
Come on, man.
He has to be on this
team. Yeah, I mean, and McKinney skipped this. And see, the thing is, and people are like, well, if you say this guy should be on, you got to take somebody off. Okay. McKinney, Houston Texans?
Yeah.
No, you didn't have a better – he did not have a better year than Darius Leonard.
How do you do this? And plus, that defense has been red hot thanks to him.
I've never heard of a middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I played with Ray. Ray never had 7 sacks in a season. This dude got 7 sacks, 146 tackles.
And to your point, he's just running away with the tackles. What is it over Keekly? 22 than Keekly?
22. He has more tackles in 14 games than anybody had last year in 16 games.
I think we need a recount on this one, right?
And then Chris Jones got 14 and a half sacks.
And by the way, T.Y. Hilton's on this list, and I can make a case for him.
Juju.
Okay, you can make a case for Juju.
But it's hard to make a case because, Skip, when you look at the wide receivers, are you leaving DeAndre Hopkins home?
No.
Are you leaving Tyreek home?
No.
Keenan Allen was balled out. Antonio Brown, he leads the NFL in touchdown catches.
It's hard.
I mean, there are some positions. To be a middle linebacker in the NFC, in order for you to crack Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly and make someone leave those guys home, your defense is going to have to be first or second. Mm-hmm. Your team's going to have to be in position to win the division, and you're going to have to be off the chart.
Yep.
That's the only way you're going to crack that because they got such big names, and when you see them in televised games, Skip, they stick out.
Yep.
You look at Luke Kuechly the other night, Skip, he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You look at Bobby Wagner when he's been on Monday Night Football, he's everywhere.
He is.
So in order for you to break their streak, you're going to have to be spectacular.
Yep. Which, speaking of loaded positions in the NFC, brings me to one name on this list that was a little down the list but really leaped out and grabbed my eyes.
What's that?
And it's the 11th player on the NFL.com snubs list. And it's this guy named Adrian Peterson.
Man, they need to stop.
Okay, but I got to tell you, does he at least deserve some honorable mention? Because given what I thought he couldn't do anymore, I thought he had a great year. Given what I thought he didn't have left.
Let's skip.
Okay, he averaged 4.2 a carry. That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That team is 7-7. That team is not dead yet. Mm. And a big part of that has been him. And obviously they've gone from one quarterback to another to Mark Sanchez, now to Josh Johnson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I got to give him some credit. He at least belongs somewhere on the snub list. I can't make a case because that position is, you know, Gurley and Zeke. And it's just,
And Saquon. So where you going?
Okay, you can't do it. But I'm just saying.
Look at his last five games, Skip. What has he done in his last five games?
Okay, but he's got 923 yards for the year. That's pretty great.
Skip, the question that you and I had when some of these running backs went down, is he going to get enough carries because he's a bell cow running back, which means he needs to get the lion's share of the carries?
Yep.
Was he going to get enough carries in order for him to be successful? You and I thought he could be successful if he got the carries. But down the stretch, and that's what happens as you start.
I got it.
I mean, because, you know, he goes for one. I mean, think about it, Skip. He goes 90 yards on one carry.
Yep.
And then his next eight carries, he goes 8 yards.
No, I got it.
And then he goes 17, 25.
I'm with you. But if Darius Geis doesn't go down early this year,
right.
I think Adrian's watching football year from his couch.
Yes.
Right? I'm pretty sure.
And that's the thing. I mean, and so, you know, look, Skip, I mean, you got Tyron Smith. That's a reputation pick.
Total reputation. And thank you for bringing him up because, again, he played with a bad elbow and a bad back, and he missed a couple of games. But do you know how many holding calls I had to sit back and say, he held again?
Mm-hmm.
He's not nearly what he used to be. That's pure reputation.
And poor Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack like, man, I got more sacks by myself than the whole Raiders team. The Raiders got 11 sacks. Khalil Mack got 12 and a half, Skip.
I don't think he's looking back. No, it has
But Skip, it's always been like this. And now with social media, you see guys posting, you know, vote for me in the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Back when I played, Skip, hey, you know, we could guys come out, hey, let your boy get that Pro Bowl vote. Let your boy get that Pro Bowl vote. And for me, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. But nah, bro.
But sometimes when you ask players to vote,
they vote for their friends.
And you don't see enough.
Yeah.
Like, you'll see the game film of the teams you're
playing.
But there are going to be some teams you really don't watch.
That is correct, Skip. And a lot, sometimes you have to go, you're like, okay, the guy had a great, you know, he gets an interception here or two interceptions there. But you can't, you know, it's kind of like a reporter. I mean, unless you cover the, you know, you're a beat reporter for the Cowboys. Unless Cowboys are playing that team, that's how you.
That is a very astute point because I've watched for years beat reporters who have to go to a game every Sunday and they don't get to watch any games.
Right.
And they don't have time to go watch game tape.
You know about the Cowboys and the team they're playing that particular Sunday. So that's it.
That's it.
So and it's the same way for a player.
And then they say 1/3 of the vote goes to fans, and I never know if you can hold them accountable for this. The National Football League, is it really a third? Is it a half? I have no idea.
I mean, look, Andrew Luck got jobbed. So did Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. So did Darius Leonard. Mm-hmm. So did Chris Jones. Everybody else, y'all ain't got no beef.
Mm. Well, my question for Skip is, the Cowboys had 5 players selected to the Pro Bowl, but where were they on Sunday?
She just went hood, Jenny.
I'm sorry.
Hold on. All them offensive players. You had Zach Martin was out. So you had Tyron Smith.
Oh.
Zeke.
She just
I've been thinking about that one
like
for a little
Jenny
bit.
From the block.
I'm sorry. No mercy. Speaking of the Cowboys, they did something that they hadn't done since 2003 on Sunday. Get shut out. The offense accumulated almost 300 yards against the Colts, but the Cowboys haven't scored a touchdown in 10 out of the last 12 quarters. On the defensive end, Dallas gave up nearly 180 rushing yards to the Colts in the blowout loss. Both sides of the ball were disappointing. For Jerry Jones, take a listen.
We are concerned. We should be concerned. Parity is really here in the NFL. There's a lot of competitive teams that have a chance here. And we've got to realize that any team can beat you. They pay their guys, too, when you play them. They're paid to beat you. And you go out there and give them an opportunity and line it up for them, it can happen to you.
Shannon, which unit was most to blame, offense or defense?
Really, Skip.
Love listening to Jerry?
Offense or defense?
He just gets your blood boiling, doesn't he?
I mean, offense scored 0 points. Zero. Zero. They're the 20.
Wait, say it again.
Zero.
I want them to hear that.
Zilch.
Thank you.
Nada.
Nada.
Nine.
Yeah.
Nanka.
Yeah.
Net. Is there any way I can get to zero?
That was well done.
Thank you.
Niet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Close.
Skip.
What's French?
Niet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
But anyway, hold on. Jerry just, wait a minute. Didn't Jerry say they were different cats? Just 3 weeks ago, Jerry Jones said these were different cats. He said, the New Orleans Saints, this is our Super Bowl. You see why you don't put so much emphasis on a win and you don't jump off a cliff when you lose. Mm. You see the ebbs and flows that happen in the NFL, Skip? And you would think Jerry Jones, having been an owner since, 1988, Skip? When did he buy the Cowboys?
89.
89? Mm-hmm. So for almost 30 years, Jerry Jones has been an owner. You would think Jerry would know by now is that you're never as good as your best win. Mm-hmm. You're never as bad as your worst loss.
Mm. Well, he's had...
But they're pretty, I mean, they're pretty bad here, Skip. I mean, you might
lately,
be
he's had far more ebbs than flows, right?
Well, Skip, he won 3 Super Bowls. I mean, so...
That was a long time ago, but go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. But anyway, Skip, I keep telling you, you like... Now, I think the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken, they're number 2 or 3 in time of possession. Mm. But they're 26 in points scored.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Third. Now, they went into the game number 1.
Yeah!
Yep.
Now, the defense is 4th in scoring.
Yep.
Now, they did a job, did a number on New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
10 points. Mm-hmm. Offense only gave him 13. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Jerry should be very, very concerned about his offense mm-hmm. because the defense is the 4th scoring defense in all of football.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good enough to win your ball games. I don't know how far you can go
mm-hmm.
when your offense is 26th in scoring.
Yeah.
I don't know how far you can go, Skip. Mm-hmm. Now, if your defense shut everybody out and you know, hold them to 3-10 points, but the likelihood of you holding, let's say, for the sake of argument, the Saints again in their building to 10, mm-hmm. or you have to go on the road and hold the Rams to 10,
mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Mm.
I don't like those odds. So if I'm someone, I'm going to be more concerned with the offense because that's the side of the football that I've seen the more inconsistent play from this year, especially from that guy that has a cologne out. Not
You like that line.
Yeah, what I like.
I thought it was lame.
I don't even wear cologne no more. I stopped wearing it.
Mm.
But I might get me some of that.
Me too. So here's the point you continue to miss.
What I miss?
My offense showed up from the start on Sunday. My defense never showed up from the start to the finish, which is why I am far more fearful of my defense going forward. I'm far more fearful of my defense than I am of my offense. Because the truth is, I didn't really mind the way my offense played because they came right out and I saw drives of 10 plays and 14 plays and 15 plays that ended in a blocked field goal. So Dak -3 right there that he set them up to have.
Why you got to set them up?
What do you mean? He drove them into position.
No, you're supposed to put them on the end zone.
Yeah. Well, okay. But I'm just saying,
okay.
Field goals are field goals.
Okay.
Are they not
okay,
part
give,
of the game?
I'll give you that. Okay, I'll
and
give you
And then Dak threw a pass to Olawale, and I know it goes to number 49, but was it not a touchdown pass? Should it not have been caught for a touchdown?
Well,
yes.
What you call
yes.
short arm?
Yes, yes,
did Dak
yes.
short arm it?
Dak?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he got
hit him right in the hand.
No.
Oh, I thought you said Olawale short arm.
No, he did. But he was expecting the ball to be here, and then he had to reach back, and it was a little low.
It hit him right in the hands at the goal line.
Low.
Seriously, I could catch that.
Okay, he dropped that. Well, didn't they get another opportunity?
Well, okay. But again, that's a drop touchdown. That's -10 points that Dak set up. He did his part for those 10 points. And then I showed you in the first series before the botched field goal that he throws a back shoulder fade for a touchdown to Allen Hurns, and I don't know what's going on. Wrong page, wrong place, wrong time, and he looks inside and the ball's outside.
Well, if you call a 9 route,
mm-hmm.
you can't throw it back shoulder and try to make me look bad.
Okay, how do you know that's the route called? How do you know it's not a back shoulder fade?
We don't.
I don't know for sure, but it looked like Dak was throwing it on the boundary, right down the boundary, to look this way and catch it at the goal line.
Right.
And Allen Hurns fights inside, and he doesn't even see the football.
Right.
Okay? So, again, to me, that's on Allen Hurns, but whatever. And then I showed you repeatedly on Monday, Noah Brown gets fouled 5 times up the boundary, and the pass is right on schedule, right on time, right in his hands, and the DB is all over him, and it should have been pass interference first and goal at the 5. And I think they're going to cash that, and I think that's going to tie the game at 7-all. So I'm showing you 17 points in the first half that were botched by a non-call, a drop TD pass, and a botched field goal. I don't mind that. I mean, the offense is moving the football. What was the time of possession in the first half? It was nearly 20-10
Dallas. But I thought you said the football game was 2 halves.
Yeah.
What did they do in the second half? Okay, let's just say.
Okay, but remember, the time of possession got flipped in the second half. Why was that? Because the Colts ran the Cowboy defense off the field and out of town. Think about this. My defense comes into this game having allowed the fewest yards per rush carry,
mm-hmm.
yards per carry, 3.6 in the whole National Football League, and they get blown off the field by 178 yards rushing, and Marlon Mack should have made the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro team for what he did on Sunday, because he goes 27 for 139. That's 5.1 per carry.
Okay.
5.1, and they were averaging 3.6 allowed?
Okay, how about this?
Hey, that's pathetic. So what happened in the second half? The time of possession flips completely around where Indy wins time of possession for the game because they dominated the second half ball far more than Dallas did in the first half.
Is Dallas not allowed? So, okay, they dominated the time of possession. Okay, they get a field goal. Okay, no, Indy comes out, they get a touchdown. Mm-hmm. They kick the ball off to Dallas. Mm-hmm. What did Dallas do?
Which play? We're talking
Indy,
about
okay, it was 10-0 at the half. Indy gets the ball, they go down the field, they score. It's 17-0. They kick the ball off. Okay, what did Dallas offense do?
Okay, well, Dak had one interception in the second half off the hands. It glanced off the hands of one Blake
Jarwin. That was a poor throwing ball, Skip.
Would Shannon Sharp have caught that ball? Yes!
Skip, I'm in the Hall of Fame!
Okay, well, Blake Jarwin was undrafted.
Exactly.
He was undrafted.
Exactly. So
that's all I got. And by the way, Blake Jarwin's played pretty well lately. But you got to catch that ball.
But, okay, let's just say for the sake of argument, Skip, when does Dallas defense get to take a break and the offense bail them out?
Well, happened against Jacksonville. It was 40-7. 24-0 at half.
Skip, you forget the nothing. That means the defense shut them out. The defense only gave up 7 points. I'm talking about when do they get to get in the battle and the final score is 45-42 or the score is 54-51. When does the offense get to bail out the defense? That's all I'm asking.
Did Ray Lewis ever ask you that question in 2000?
No.
Did he?
But we
because he could ask you every Sunday.
No.
When are you guys going to bail us out?
We bailed them out.
When do we get a Sunday off?
We bailed them out in game two against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
We put 39 on Jacksonville. I caught a touchdown with 30 seconds to go to give us the lead. We did it in the final game of the season against the New York Jets. Yes.
That didn't matter. That didn't count.
Well, we needed that to be to have a home game, the first game at home.
Okay.
If we had lost that game, we would have had to go to Denver. Since we won, they had to come to us.
And then what happened in the playoffs? Did you bail them out?
No, I just needed one play.
One play?
Yeah.
And what did they allow through the playoffs?
Not much.
Like,
but hold on, Skip.
What did they allow, like 6 points a game?
They gave up 23 total points in 4 games.
Oof. That's all time.
Hold on. Yeah. Are you trying to say the Cowboys? You want the Cowboys to be the 2000 Ravens defense?
I'm just saying, this defense, do you realize Andrew Luck and company, you know how many times they punted on Sunday? One time.
Yeah.
They punted once.
Yeah.
Do you know what their third down conversions were? 8 out of 12. Do you know, it reminded me of the Tennessee nightmare on that Monday night out of the bye. And that night, Marcus Mariota went 11 of 14 on third down. Do you realize my Cowboys are fourth worst in the NFL in allowing third down conversions?
Yeah.
Yet, somehow, anomaly, they're fourth in the NFL in points allowed.
They keep your ideas on.
So they bend and they bend and they keep bending and they bend on third down, they bend on third down, and then somehow they keep you out of the end
zone. If you don't mind me asking, I know you told me that Andrew Luck was 8 of 12 on third down. If you don't mind me asking, what was Dak Prescott in the Cowboys offense on third down?
I forgot about it already.
Oh, no, you didn't forget.
I'm on to Tampa Bay.
No, Skip.
Skip,
why would you do that?
Because.
At some point in time, Skip, you're going to have to hold Dak accountable.
He was all right. What were they, 4-12 or something like that?
4-12?
Yeah, it was all right. Well,
so how many games do you expect to win when you go 4-12 on third down?
Well, if I told you, how many games would you expect to win if I told you that you would open the game with drives of 10 plays, 14 plays, and 15 plays?
How many points
you'd
I get out
say,
of that?
You'd say, well, you got that.
No. I'm going to ask, okay, did you pay it off?
Mm-hmm. They tried.
What do you mean?
Well, it wasn't Dak's fault. Did Dak get the field goal block? He wasn't out there. He's not on the field goal unit.
Skip.
Is he?
No. Don't do that, Skip. Don't do that. I mean, they had 39 plays in the first half. With 0 points.
Yep.
And the defense sitting over there like, man, can y'all just give us 7 early. Give us 10 early. Now they can hunt.
By the way, the defense is sitting over there saying, boy, we got to walk in the park today. We don't even have to play, right?
Yeah, he's like, hold on, y'all need to pay that off. Y'all need to pay that off. Had the man work all day and ain't getting no pay.
Yeah, then the defense had to work in the second half, and they no-showed. They took the rest of the day off.
But what about, Skip, you still won't tell me when are the Cowboys are going to give the defense, say, you know what, guys, we got y'all. Y'all can't stop them today, we're going to match them score for score.
Mm.
Well, the Bucs have the 30th ranked scoring D.
Thank you. But to answer your question, I think the offense bailed out the defense against Philadelphia just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter in overtime? You don't think Dak threw for 243 in the fourth quarter? You don't think that's the offense saying, we got you?
Well, Skip,
we got you.
Well, if you're going to go for it, but here's
they the actually made Carson Wentz look good. They did. Good. He is good.
Yes, he is. Hold on, Skip. First of all, if you're going to go for it like 15 times a game on fourth down, your offense better be good. And that's what happens. They go for it on Sunday four times, and they're one for four. I think they went five times. They're one for four. You can't keep doing that.
Okay. So my offense and my defense better show up this time or we're in trouble because we're on to the New York Giants.
I thought you were different cats. So in other words, you're the same cats. You just got an opportunity to eat and live like fat cats for a day.
I'll give you fat cats.
Oh, y'all fat cat, huh?
I'll give you that.
Oh.
We were fat cats.
Oh, you hear that? You hear that, Dak? He said y'all fat cat only for a day.
He hopes we're listening.
You know what? They were garbage.
What?
Garbage. Tell them.
No, you said that.
They got exposed.
What?
No mercy.
Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were both selected to the Pro Bowl yesterday. Brady tied an NFL record with his 14th selection, while Rodgers has now been chosen 7 times. Both players were surprising selections as their numbers are down from previous years. And Rodgers Packers are out of the playoff race. Brady beat out Andrew Luck and Big Ben in the AFC, while Rodgers beat out Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan in the NFC. But Skip.
Yes, ma'am.
Which quarterback was the bigger surprise between Brady or Rodgers?
First, allow me to congratulate Tom Brady on making his 14th Pro Bowl, which ties the all-time record shared by the greatest tight end in pro football history. What's that guy's name? Tony Gonzalez.
With 8.
Oh, yeah,
he
works here.
Only went to 8.
No? Huh?
Only went to 8.
You only went to 8? Well, so? So he was way better than you were, right? I don't know. But that's
still bugging you?
He caught a bunch of balls.
So I am here to explain to my man Shannon Sharp, the Hall of Famer, that Tom Brady deserved to make the AFC Pro Bowl roster over Andrew Luck. Aaron Rodgers did not deserve to make the NFC Pro Bowl roster over Russell Wilson. Clearly, Tom Brady has had a better performance season than Aaron Rodgers.
No,
clearly he has. And I'm about to make the case that he's had a little better year than even Andrew Luck has. But let me start with Aaron Rodgers. Let's do degree of difficulty. Tom Brady had no Pro Bowlers on offense. It's the lowest number of Pro Bowlers Bill Belichick has had in 10 years. And that's since 2008 when Tom Brady was lost in game one and they missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So there's been erosion of talent in New England. And Tom Brady keeps overcoming that because this team should be 10-4, save for the Miami Miracle. And Aaron Rodgers did have Devontae Adams as a Pro Bowler on his offense, so wouldn't that be big advantage and degree of difficulty for Tom Brady over Aaron Rodgers? Because Tom Brady's got nothing on offense except for Tom Brady, and you probably think that's counterfeit. But again, he had nothing, and he made the Pro Bowl. So now let's go to these stats on Aaron Rodgers. This is Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. Let's just start with QBR. Tom Brady had not nearly the year he had last year when he was the MVP, but he's 9th in QBR. Aaron Rodgers is 19th. Let's go to yards per attempt, your favorite stat, because you're into dinking and dunking and you don't like it. Well, Tom Brady's 11th in yards per attempt, but Aaron Rodgers is dinking and dunking like crazy. He's 19th. Completion percentage, that's a big deal. Tom slipped this year to 18th, but Aaron slipped all the way to 28th out of 33 qualified quarterbacks, so he's having a miserable year. Let's just do pure passing yards. Tom Brady is 5th to Aaron Rodgers, 6th, so he's even got him just in pure passing
yards. 48 yards.
Yeah, okay, but he's got him. And then big plays of 20-plus yards. Tom Brady had 50 of those this year to Aaron's 49, so he even got him by one in the big plays. Then crucial stat, time to throw. Tom Brady had the 4th worst time to throw in the National Football League, and Aaron Rodgers had the 4th best time to throw in the NFL. Yet Tom Brady should be 10-4, save for the Miami Miracle.
But he's not.
And Aaron Rodgers is 5-8-1. That's pathetic.
Well, what about those those kicks?
Yeah.
So Aaron Rodgers, what about those 5 kick Mason Crosby crossbar as you called it missed in Detroit?
Yeah.
What about that shank job that he did against Minnesota when he could have won that game?
I don't know. Could he have won it for sure?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Skip, stop. Yeah. Look, I do not believe either quarterback should have been selected for the Pro Bowl because neither one of them had the type of season that would warrant a selection. Mm. Andrew Luck omission from the AFC side of the Pro Bowl at the quarterback position is just unconscionable to me. Mm. Really? Tom Brady is great. This, when you say someone doesn't deserve to be on the Pro Bowl roster in 2018, this is not to diminish anything that Tom Brady has accomplished before 2018 happened. This is about 2018.
I agree.
34 touchdowns and doing what he's been able to do. The 8 straight games with at least 3 touchdowns. To get this team back to where they were after starting the season, where they start 1-3, 2-5, I think. Skip, come on. I know Tom Brady is all-time great. He's the GOAT. But you say we're supposed to go to judge GOAT players.
Yep.
Be it whatever it is, be it basketball, football, or whatever it is, we help hold them to the highest standard. Mm. They should receive the harshest of critiques. Mm. Skip, he's 24-9. Mm. That's why, think of let that sink in, Skip. Mm-hmm. He has 24 touchdowns.
Yep.
Do you know how many guys have more touchdowns than that? And that's Tom Brady, and that's what he's representing the AFC. The players that thought Tom Brady should be in the Pro Bowl, the coaches. I get the fans, hey, that's your guy, you love who you love. But players and coaches that watch tape, and you think Tom Brady deserves to be in the Pro Bowl over Andrew Luck? Nah, bro. This is not a lifetime achievement award. And I, he tied the record. No, but he didn't deserve to get it. So I'm going to have to put an asterisk by
So let's look at the records between these two football teams. We're looking at Tom Brady, and they are 9-5. They should be 10-4.
No, they should not.
They should. It wasn't Tom Brady's fault they lost it. Miami is Bill Belichick's fault. That's literally down to the last play of the game.
They could be 8-7 because they should have lost to Kansas City.
They should not have. He threw for 182 in the fourth quarter.
What about that 478 and six touchdowns? Well, four touchdowns, excuse me.
So Tom Brady's 9-5. Andrew Luck. They've had a little resurgence. They're 8-6. But Andrew Luck, let's do degree of difficulty. On offense, he had two other Pro Bowlers. He had Eric Ebron, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and he threw a bunch of those touchdown passes to Ebron, right?
Oh, you remember Ebron?
Yeah.
Detroit didn't want Eric Ebron.
Okay, but
they said, nah, we good.
Okay, but he was really good. We're just doing 2018,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And then Quentin Nelson, that kid they drafted.
He might be the best guard in football.
He might be, and he made the Pro Bowl.
And
Andrew Luck's got that. Tom Brady's got this patchwork offensive line that can be a disaster on any given Sunday.
Yeah.
And does he have an Eric Ebron? No, he doesn't.
He got Gronk.
He got Gronk. He's got Frankenstein monster.
Don't do that, Skip.
Huh?
Don't do that.
Me
Gronk more. Just went to the Pro Bowl. He was all pro last year, had over 100 yards in the Super Bowl.
Can't run, can't jump. So let's look at Andrew Luck versus Tom Brady just on stats. Again, I love QBR, and I'll give you this. Andrew Luck is 8th and Tom Brady is 9th.
Okay,
so
that's
got him barely. Just got him barely. But if we go to just passing yards, just pure passing yards, Tom Brady's 5th to Andrew Luck 7th. Now we go to the case closer. Yards per attempt. You love yards per attempt because you do not like Dak and Dunk. Am
yes.
I right?
Yes.
Well, Andrew Luck's ultimate Dak and Dunk because he's 24th in the NFL in yards per attempt because he's just dinking and
no,
dunking
hold
all
on,
over
Skip,
the lot.
Skip, Skip, you know
he's
that's
he's throwing little pop passes
no,
to the tight end.
You know
he's
you,
throwing 3-yard touchdown
no,
passes
no, no, no,
to Eric
Skip,
Ebron.
No, Skip,
he is.
You know what happened early in the year when his shoulder was messed up. He was not throwing the ball down the field, so it pulled it way down. Go look
I just saw a game Sunday. He had a grand total of 192 yards against Dallas.
But, Skip.
I mean, my quarterback threw for more yards.
Yeah.
Dink and Dak. He had, 206?
On 40 attempts.
Okay, well, I'm
why
just
do
saying,
I need to
192.
Why do I need to throw the ball when you guys can't stop the run? Why would I put the ball in harm's way, maybe have
know.
A tip?
You got the Pro Bowl quarterback. I don't know. Blow him out. Blow him off the field. How about interceptions? Tom Brady has thrown 9, but Andrew Luck has thrown 13, which is tied for the 4th most in football.
So where is he in touchdown passes? He's thrown
10
more.
Yep.
Where is that tied for?
He threw a bunch of dink and dunkers to Eric Ebron.
Oh, Skip.
Do 2-yard touchdown passes count?
Yes.
I guess they do.
All the ones that he threw. Now, you know who's the king of dinking and dunking.
Who?
Tom Brady throwing to James White.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what this says. I don't know. Tom Brady's 11th in yards per attempt.
The first
24th.
The Andrew Luck stats are weighted down because the first 5 weeks of the season.
Do they count?
Yes.
Count? Yes, they do.
So even though he was dumping it down, look where. What about them touchdowns? Do they count?
Yeah, they do.
So
little touchdowns.
Skip, look, I don't want people to say, well, you know, because this is really hard. It's like having a 10-pound cannonball or 10-pound bowling ball dropped on your head.
Yep.
Both of them gonna hurt just as bad. So I think both of these guys should be sitting on the Tom Brady never goes to the Pro Bowl, so Aaron Rodgers hadn't been, you said, in four or five years.
Four times. Tom Brady not since 2005. So you can't say they're on reputation to see them play in the game.
They don't go.
But what's happened to Tom Brady? He's always in the Super Bowl or at least in
AFC Championship. Wait a minute. So in other words, so 2005, so he's been in the Super Bowl 12 times since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, I lose track because it seems like it's every year.
Not every year.
He took the L.
Yeah.
The Eli.
He's been in the AFC.
Hold up. How can you be the GOAT if you lost to Eli, who was benched for Geno Smith? How can you ever have GOAT status?
Eli has not been benched for
He did. Huh? Geno Smith replaced him.
He's still afloat the last time.
No. Yep. He got replaced last year by Geno Smith.
Last year.
Was that not the luckiest pass in Super Bowl history? No.
How do you lose the GOAT?
I don't know.
I mean, if you look at LeBron, who did LeBron lose to? Steph Curry and KD, Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, Kawhi, and Manu. Mm. Who he lost to, Skip?
You don't like Manu. You think he's garbage.
Is he going to the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. Not according to you.
Oh, why you do it? Is Tony Parker going to the Hall of Fame?
Listen, everybody's in that Hall of Fame.
Okay, what about Tim Duncan?
I think I'm in the basketball Hall.
If you don't mind me asking.
I am.
Who's the greatest power forward in NBA history?
I think he's a center. That's just me. But Tim Duncan played center.
He did.
He's the five. I don't want to hear power forward.
He was a power forward.
He was not.
He was a four.
I'm going to close this case on Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson has had a better year than Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. It's just like, come on.
But
really?
His
team's 8-6 versus 5-8-1. Really?
I'm not debating whether or not Aaron shouldn't be there. Matt Ryan statistically has had a better year, 30-6.
Their team's not good enough.
Hold up. What's Matt Ryan's team's record?
I don't know.
You make it seem
they're out of it.
Green Bay's out of it.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Brady out of it?
No. Is Andrew Luck out of it?
Not yet.
Okay. What you mean not yet?
They're barely hanging in there.
They're seven right now.
But hold on. Well, since you want to talk about numbers and record, Deshaun Watson should have got in because he has the same numbers, 24 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, and he has one more win than Tom Brady. Mm. So by your argument, if I'm only going to use your argument,
okay,
Deshaun
Watson. You made the Andrew Luck argument. You never made the Deshaun, because if you made the Deshaun, I'd be like,
No. I'm saying, when you take someone off, okay, if we're going to take someone off the roster, who are we going to put on? My first choice, my biggest snub of all the snubs, especially in the AFC, I believe is Andrew Luck.
Hmm.
Because I believe he played well enough to be the quarterback.
Hmm.
Okay. Not Tom Brady.
But he had two Pro Bowlers on his offense and Brady had zero on his offense. How did Brady get them to 10-4? I don't know.
Skip.
Miracles.
Really? Happen. Playing in that division?
Yeah.
A lot of miracles.
Playing in that division?
They still haven't played two division games.
And they play two division games. One got no Pro Bowls and the other got one.
Okay, but that's to come. We're talking about right here, right now, today.
Have they played them?
No, not yet.
Yes, they have. No mercy.
Well, the Lakers ended a 4-game road trip last night in Brooklyn that they probably would like to forget. Early in the game, LeBron had his shot blocked by Jared Allen, which was even a bigger deal because LeBron has only had his dunk attempts blocked 9 times in his long career. 9 times. LeBron finished with 36 points and got the Nets lead down to 3 with under 20 seconds left. But the Lakers fell to a disappointing 1-3 on the road trip. But back to the highlight of the game. Let's take a listen to LeBron after getting denied at the rim.
He's in his 20s. I'm in my 30s. It takes me a little longer to get warmed up. But that's fine. I mean, you're a shot blocker. You sure you can get a block? It happens. It's probably all over social media, so that's cool.
My quote growing up, either way, you're going to be on the highlight. So if you go up, you block it, you're going to be on the highlight. You get dunked on, you're going to be on the highlight. So just go up and protect the rim.
LeBron was right. It was all over social media. So, Shannon, how embarrassing was this for LeBron?
It shouldn't be embarrassing at all. If you're an NBA player, you play long enough, ain't no probably. You're going to get dunked on, and you're going to probably have your shot or your dunk attempt blocked. Hmm. Now, this is not Nate Robinson blocking Yao Ming. The guy is 6'11" with a 7'6" wingspan.
True.
His sole purpose, he's not in there. He's not Anthony Davis also to score points. He's there for one thing, to play defense. He's there to protect the rim. Mm-hmm. And he did that. He protected the rim. And he's absolutely right. When you're a defensive stopper and you block shots or you protect the rim, mm-hmm. either you're going to get posterized mm-hmm. or you're going to have a poster where you're meeting someone at the summit and it's going to turn out in your favor. Mm-hmm. Simple as that, Skip. So LeBron James should, I mean, out of almost 1,900 attempts, this is only the ninth time it's happened. So basically, yep. once every 1.5 years, someone meets him at the summit, I got no complaints about that. Mm-hmm. Hey, LeBron, you win some, you lose some. They'll meet again. Hmm. This time it's not going to be in your favor, Allen. Hmm. Just want you to know that. Hmm. Like LeBron says, he's a little older, so it takes him a little while to build up some steam. He caught him early.
He did.
If you'd have caught him in, hey, ask Nurkic what would happened to you. Ask Jokic if you catch him in the third and fourth quarters, what would happened.
But that's the other way around. He's blocking them.
No. He poked on him. You remember, he body-bagged Nurkic.
Oh, he body-bagged.
Body-bagged Jokic. You remember, Skip?
Okay.
But anyway, look, I've said this before, and I don't know how many times I'm going to have to repeat it, Skip. They're going to be a problem. For the simple fact they turned the ball over. LeBron had 5 last night. They're the worst shooting free throw team in all of basketball.
They are.
So when you fall behind, Skip, mm-hmm. and they start to foul you and put you on the line so you can make up some ground with the clock stopped, they can't capitalize. Mm-hmm. They missed another 10 last night.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They missed what? 7 against the Wizards. They missed 12 against the Rockets.
Yep.
So when you turn it over, which now all of a sudden, you're not even getting shots up at the rim. The other team comes down.
Yep.
They score. They foul you because you're behind. You can't capitalize. And then, Skip, even when they got back into the ball game in the fourth quarter, and you heard Luke Walton say, look, no disrespect to Jared Dudley, but Jared Dudley's probably in his, 12th, 13th mm-hmm. year. He can't go by you. I'm not saying he can't make shots, because if you're in the NBA still, obviously you can make plays. Mm-hmm. He can't drive the ball around you. He made a couple of threes, a couple of deep shots. Got no problem with that. Mm. That's what he is. He's a marksman. But you can't allow him to put the ball on the floor and get to the rack. That can't happen. And what we're seeing is that we see guys that, like, when they put Mekhi Luke.
Yeah.
They put him in.
Yeah.
When they put him in the game, what they do, Skip? Anybody that he's guarding, they go into the rack.
That is true.
And see, here's the thing. Now, if he's going to – his niche in the league is going to be kind of like a Kyle Korver. You could play Korver as long as he's hitting shots.
And he hasn't been.
If he can't hit shots, he's a defensive liability.
Yep.
He serves you no purpose.
Yeah. At Kansas in the summer league, he was hitting his threes.
Right.
He hasn't so far.
He hasn't so far.
Yep.
So it's almost hard to play him.
Yeah, it is.
And now you have Kuzma.
Yeah.
You're going around Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have that.
Yeah.
They're getting backdoor cuts. Mm-hmm. They're getting layup. They're driving to the – you can't have it. So until they do a better job of taking care of the basketball,
mm-hmm.
until they start doing a better job, because they're going to the free throw line.
Mm.
It's not like, man, we got holes because we're not getting to the foul. No, bull mm-hmm. jive. You get into the line 25, 30 times,
mm-hmm.
but you're missing 10. You're missing 12, 13.
Mm.
So that's the problem. And mm-hmm. see, Skip, when you're on the road, they go 1-3 this road trip.
Mm.
You know when the crowd can't get you back in the game.
Mm.
You fall down by 10, 15 points at home. You may hit a couple of shots, crowd get you back into the game, you can make this comeback. Normally, when you get down the road by 15,
mm-hmm.
it's probably going to end bad for you.
Mm.
Yeah, you can make that run because everybody makes a run, but you're probably going to end up coming up short.
Mm.
Until they take better care of the ball, until they start making some free throws, this is going to be their fate.
Mm. So, back to the blocked dunk, which occurred 1:10 into the game.
True.
It was early, and LeBron's getting up there in age because he's almost 34 years of age on December 30th, 1984, Immaculate Conception, we know all that, right? So, 1:10 into the game, and I'm thinking, well, did LeBron stay out a little late because he and Melo took the wives out the night before, and they probably had some vino and maybe some cigars?
The game was late, Skipping, so
well,
it didn't
I don't
matter.
Know. Maybe he just stayed up a little late, and he had maybe one glass of wine too many. I don't know. It took him a little while to get unraveled, right?
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
And yet, here's what got me about the block dunk. LeBron, highest basketball IQ, I think, in the history of the game, he takes on a very bad idea where he dribbled to his left, and all of a sudden he swings back to his right and tries to dunk it with his right hand right into the wheelhouse of the 6'11 kid.
Right.
And again, Jared Allen was the 22nd overall pick out of the University of Texas, and he's a shot blocker by trade. That's what he does.
That's it. Yeah.
And again, LeBron is just such a bad idea to go left and then come back right and try to right-hand dunk it right into his strength, because it was predictable.
Well, Skip, I don't think he saw him until late because the dude rotated. He did a great job of rotating over. Oh. He thought he had the guy that was on him, and then once he gets up there, he's like, oh, well, I might as well go ahead and try it. Now I'm here now.
Bad idea. Worst idea. And again, maybe he's not quite awake yet because he had a long night. I don't know.
He need to get warmed up. You heard what he said.
All right. So then LeBron goes ahead and misses 5 more free throws. He's plummeted all the way to 68% for the year. Not good. And listen, here's the difference in this team and last year's Cavs team. This team truly mirrors LeBron. Like, last year's team had veterans who kind of did their own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't codependent on LeBron to set their tone for them every night. They were going to do, like, J.R. Smith's going to do what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. Kyle Korver's going to make his shots, whatever. They're going to fill their roles and do what they do. With the kids in the cast-offs, they look to LeBron to set the tone. Okay. And last night, he set a tone of he's going to keep missing free throws, and they missed 10 as a team, to your point, fall dead last in the NFL.
Dead last.
So the team is shooting 69%, LeBron shooting 68%. So he's setting a missed free throw tone. And then defensively, I've loved this team much of the year. Last night, I thought LeBron was a little lethargic on defense, and he set the tone of, it's just Brooklyn. We'll figure this out. And so my embarrassment scale on the dunk, you know, scale of 1 to 10 would be like a 6 on embarrassment. But my embarrassment scale for the game, which they got back into, they got to one possession where they had them right where they wanted them. But to lose that game, not close that deal, that's more of an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10 because they're better than that. And now let's do.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. I've seen them be better than that. And again, in the West, you can't afford to go 1-3 and lose 2 Eastern Conference teams. You just can't. So back to your point about Jared Dudley. I know him very well. Used to have him on this show, the old show, back on ESPN a lot. Good guy. He's an amazing basketball player because he's not a weight room warrior. He's the opposite of LeBron. He can't jump. He's not explosively athletic, but he knows how to play basketball.
Correct.
And so I thought Luke Walton actually took a little bit of a shot, an unwarranted shot. If we could hear that sound from Luke after the game, you mentioned it before, but here's Luke right after.
That's a good team, but we can't just let players blow by us. I mean, I think Dudley had 10 points in the fourth quarter, and 3 of them were blow-by layups. And all respect to Dudley, he's been a very good NBA player for years, but he shouldn't be blown by anyone at this stage of his career.
Let's give him a little more credit than that, because Jared Dudley is wily. He is crafty, and he will fake you out. He'll deke you. He'll get you looking the other way. He'll lull you to sleep, and then he will blow by you.
But here's the thing.
He's been doing it. He's 33 years old. He's been doing it for like 12 years
And
now.
To give him credit, Skip, he was ACC Player of the Year.
He was.
That's saying something. Because we know Duke and the North Carolinas is in that conference. Mm-hmm. But, Skip, he's more of a catch-and-shoot 3, a spot-up shooter. We're not used to seeing him. But there's something on tape. There's something that made him feel comfortable. Says instead of settling for the jump shot, now he hit one late, Skip, that he's like, woo, okay. That's more Jared Dudley that I'm used to seeing over the last 10, 11 years. But for him to put the ball on the floor, it says, nah, I'm not settling. He saw something. He's telling you, oh, man, y'all.
Well, the look on his face was, you're going to give me this?
Yeah, he like,
I'll take this.
Oh, y'all some chumps. I'm taking y'all to the rack.
Did he two-hand slam it? No, he just laid it
up. I don't know if he had that.
He doesn't have it in him.
I don't know if he had that in him, Skip.
No, I'm just saying. He'll just make the layup, right?
What was
the dagger shot? Who shot the dagger for Brooklyn?
D'Angelo Russell.
And then he's doing ice in the veins like he used to do when he was a Laker.
Right.
Yeah. And he's sticking it to the Lakers who dumped him and shipped him out to Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
And you know what? I think nobody in Lakerland really cared last night because I don't think they missed D'Angelo. No. We know about his off-court antics.
Because whatever had been going on in the Lakers locker room, we'd have heard about it on social media.
Yep. And number two, effectively, they traded him. I know Mozgov was in there and Brook Lopez came back, but the pick was the Kuzma pick.
Yes.
So do you want D'Angelo or Kyle Kuzma? I think I'm going to stick with Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. But Skip, as you look at it, Brooklyn got tremendous. You know what? I really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to Spencer Dinwiddie.
Witty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, It is Witty. Okay, yeah. I'm looking. It looked like an L. It was not. Yeah. Dinwiddie.
Yeah.
Skip, he can play.
He just got a big new contract.
And I see why. Yep. He's offense. And you look at them, they got 48, 49 points from the bench.
Yep.
And the Lakers got a grand total of 18.
I know. This is a good roster. They just don't have the star.
Guy. Yeah. And your thing is, Skip, if you look at LeBron on the court, think about it. They lost by 5, but he's plus 4.
Yeah.
So at some point in time, Skip.
LeBron had a nice game overall.
But when he's off, they're minus 9. Yep. So what that tells you, Skip, they're going to have to find a way. Because, again, you know, remember Luke said, you know, I'm trying to manage his minutes and blah, blah, blah. No, you want to win the game. LeBron, on a Tuesday night, played 41 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, they're going to have to find someone that can give – because LeBron can't keep – he ain't going to be playing no 41 minutes. Now, I believe he can play 36, 37.
Yep.
But he ain't going to be playing no 41 for no extended period of time. Mm-hmm. And then you expect to have him down the stretch at the regular season and going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, they got to find something now. We're going to talk about this later. Rondo's coming back. Yeah. B.I.'s coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to have a whole different set of problems that you're going to have on your hand.
By the way, that kid – who's that kid – ball, that ball.
Lonzo.
Kid. Oh, Lonzo Ball. Yeah. Well. Did you notice what he did last night?
He played well.
He was making shots. At the beginning of the game, he was out of his mind making distant shots.
Yes.
And then he got a couple of fouls and they yanked him. And yet, for him to go 5-9 from 3, I think that's pretty cool. And yet, it's not going to be very cool when Rondo comes back. Yep. And those he played 39 minutes and 25 seconds. That is about to get reduced. No
mercy. So Anthony Davis can't become a free agent until the end of next season, but two teams are already standing out as possible destinations. Woj reports the Celtics have, quote, been hawking Anthony Davis for years. The other rumored landing spot has been the Lakers. LeBron was asked yesterday about the possibility of adding AD and said, quote, that would be amazing. Like, duh, that would be incredible. Adding even more intrigue, AD is now represented by Clutch Sports, who also reps one LeBron James. We are joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Chris, what are the odds of AD going to LA?
I think the Lakers are the favorite. And obviously, having Rich Paul as your agent is a huge factor. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is being paid lots of money by the Lakers.
Lots.
He's represented by Rich Paul. Remember the big contract he got last year before LeBron?
Years.
Exactly. He wasn't getting that anywhere else. I'm not saying it's a done deal because I think that here's what's going to happen. It's not going to happen this year. I don't see this deal happening this year. The only way it could even have a prayer of happening this year is if Anthony Davis does a Jimmy Butler, which is not his personality.
No,
I don't see him doing that. And then his advisors, Rich Paul, they're not
just demanding.
Right,
like sort of quitting on the team.
Yeah, and they're not Rich Paul and them, they're not going to advise him to do that. Yeah. You look at how LeBron's handled his free agency. Mm-hmm. He's always, you know, professionally. So, and even if he did do that, they still wouldn't have to trade him. If I'm New Orleans, I wouldn't trade him. Because remember, he's not a free agent until 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going to have to happen is they're going to offer him the Supermax this summer, which could pay him $70 million more than any other team, and he's likely going to turn it down. And then they're going to know. It's a lot of money to turn down, but I think because
that's $47 million a year.
You know what the Lakers' pitch is going to be. You obviously in L.A., you can make a lot more.
Yeah.
And you come here, you win a title or more with LeBron, and then it becomes your team.
Yeah.
How much longer is LeBron going to be better than AD? 2 years after this, maybe? Right? So it can transition to your team. He's only 25 years old.
25.
So that'll be the sales. Now, here's the other thing I'll throw in, because everybody's saying Boston. And obviously, they're going to be a factor, too.
Just because they have the trade assets.
They have the assets.
Yeah. I think his list, Anthony Davis's list, will be Lakers, Boston, New York Knicks.
Okay.
That's an educated speculation. And I think he'll probably have to tell them, I want to go to the Lakers for it to happen. But I'm of the opinion, most people think Boston's got more to offer, and they do have the draft picks. But Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, and Kyle Kuzma, because that's what I want if I'm New Orleans.
I would too.
Right?
I'll let you have it.
I like that better than Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Terry Rozier.
I'm with you on that. Because I would agree.
Lonzo, look, when Elfrid Payton, who's no champion, no superstar, when he was healthy this year, it was early, but they were 5-1.
Yeah.
Soon as he went down, they began losing. Rondo was huge for them last year.
Yes. Plus,
they need that type of point guard because Jrue Holiday is a scorer. He can dish.
He's mainly a two.
Right. They need a Lonzo, Rondo, Elfrid Payton type of point guard, and I think Lonzo would fit that bill. And then you get Kuzma and Ingram. Yep. I think that's pretty good. So that's why I think the Lakers are the front runner.
You think they would do that? Would Magic give up that much?
Look, I think they're going to want to keep Kuzma. I think they're going to want to keep Kuzma and Hart because that's what I would want to keep.
I think Magic's heart of hearts, he wants to keep the guy he picked second overall, too.
Mm. Not if I can get 25-year-old Anthony Davis.
I get that, and that might be true. But, yeah, for Anthony Davis,
okay.
I hate to
get I believe it's a 94.8% chance.
Mm. That I thought you were going to go 98.6.
94.8.
My temperature is rising. Yeah.
Chris, you mentioned it. Anthony Davis is in line after the season. 5 years, $239 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's about $47.5 million a year. If he doesn't take that, he's traded. He's in line for a five-year $205. Okay, five-year $205. So now it's about $35 difference. You can make that up here in L.A. What endorsements? How big can you be outside of basketball in New Orleans? And that's not a knock on New Orleans. New Orleans is a good, great city. You spend a lot of time in New Orleans. But New Orleans, off the basketball court, is not L.A. So with that being said, and that man won't have been, he's as big as he's ever going to be in New Orleans. He's averaging 28-13, 2.5 blocks. He's been a two-time first All-NBA.
Okay, quick question. Mm-hmm. How did Russell Westbrook do off the court what he does in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma? How did he do it?
Because he coming out with them skinny jeans.
Yep.
He done killed like five different presidents because they can't breathe. He done strangled the pants so tight. He do all that crazy stuff. That's not Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis just want to just show up, let that bra go, give you 28-12.
So 28-12. You are right. It's not 1985.
I mean, for that matter, LeBron was in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it doesn't matter like it used to. But I think the lifestyle, though. Like, he has a summer home here. He lives here in the summer.
Yeah, close to me.
And you see what LeBron's doing off the court. I mean, he was doing a lot in Cleveland, but now it's like he's on TV as much for other stuff.
Meetings.
Wait, you mean Michael B. Jordan?
Stop it, Skip, man. You see the numbers that he's putting up, so you need to stop it, Skip. Look, and now I agree with you again, Chris. The Celtics do have assets. They have those early round draft picks from these other teams. The question is Danny Ainge going to be tempted to include Jason Tatum? Because I believe he wants Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum probably is a no-go, a non-negotiable.
For Anthony Davis?
I'm just saying.
I think it'd be like with Lonzo or Cooper. Like, we want to keep him, but for AD?
But hold on. This is what we know. LeBron James signed a 3-year with a 1-year option. Mm. Do we know Kyrie? So if Kyrie dips to go to New York, then what? Anthony Davis going to Boston without Kyrie?
Well, Boston can't trade for him this year, remember?
Okay, then.
Because of this strange designated player rule. So they have to sign Kyrie and then trade for him.
Well,
if Kyrie walks, that's where New York would be in play. If they got Kyrie, they already have Porzingis.
They get Kyrie, Skip. So if they get Kyrie, he goes there.
Yep.
So you can only have AD or KD.
Interesting.
New York? Yeah. They ain't signing all three of them.
I take KD.
Okay, so that means AD. That means AD ain't going to Boston. Mm. He covered it. Okay, we take that.
Take that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it about an 80% that AD comes to L.A. because the deal closer is Rich Paul.
Right.
Clutch Sports. I'm sorry.
Stop it, Skip.
I got to get that right. I always get that
It is Clutch.
Clutch Sports.
And he's asked me on several occasions.
Got it.
Say, Skip.
I know. Clutch.
Yes.
Clutch.
All right, Jim.
Brain.
Hey,
okay. Getting in my, but I got to get this off my chest one more time. I'm going to ask you a hard question here about Anthony Davis. He's a great young man. Had him on the show. There's nothing wrong. You know, there's nothing not to like about him as a human being. Mm-hmm. But as a basketball player, in overall impact, I continue to wonder about him because he now leads the NBA in PER. He leads in estimated wins added, which is a huge stat for all the stat analytic nerds, right?
Okay.
And listen to these. He's 28, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. That's MVP quality
yes.
numbers. He leads the league in minutes played. He's doing everything he can do except on the win total.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're 15-16, and they have the 4th worst record in the West. And again, they broke through last year against Portland, and they finally won a playoff series, and it was highly impressive. But now he's in his 7th season, and I keep wondering, what is this about? Because Jrue Holiday, I know he's not a one, but he's still really good. He's an all-star.
Very good.
And Julius Randle is still – that was a
Julius
big
Randle
thing to give
playing
up.
Well.
Huh?
Nikola Mirotic, too.
Mirotic.
They got three other guys listen, playing really well.
Don't laugh, but Etuan Moore it starts for them, and he's pretty good. So I look at the – I just look at the starters, and I say, with that guy in the middle of all that – you're not better than 15-16. I know Mirotic has been hurt some, and to your point, Elfrid Payton, but can we lay it all on Elfrid Payton?
No.
But I just keep asking, is he the be-all and the end-all for the Lakers?
Yes.
Again, if LeBron, I don't know which year we're talking about, next year or the year after?
Maybe
still
year
talking
18.
About
maybe year 18. Decline. Year 18, yeah. Not 17.
Okay, year
18? That's the third year, yeah.
That's I know he's Iron Man, and I'm knocking on wood for him, but, man, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so can AD carry the Lakers to a championship? And
we get AD, we're going to win the championship next year.
Well, if you can pull that off, but I'm not
we
sure.
We get AD, we get the championship.
New Orleans can play hard. That's the thing. They don't have to trade him till next February.
Yeah.
Well, look, y'all can hold on to him all you want to, but if you – look, he going to walk. And,
they
and you see the number, when KD walked and OKC was not able to get anything for him, it hurt him. So.
Your magic move, your be-all and end-all move is KD says, I'm going to LeBron next year.
And then we think that's a chance after all KD's comments?
It doesn't
feel
like it.
Maybe he's trying to make us think the other.
Yeah. Look, and I don't think, I mean, just looking at it from a basketball standpoint, I think KD is the perfect fit with LeBron.
Sure.
AD... That's not I don't think it's the greatest fit, but I think with LeBron the
make it work.
The formula is get a second guy that's a superstar that can get his own stuff like LeBron, and that's how I worked with Kyrie, that's how I worked with Wade, and I do think it'll work with AD like that. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one. Of one.